Now, Ecclesiastes is an interesting book of the Bible. It is a book written by the hand of Solomon, the man who was purported to be the wisest man or one of the wisest men to ever have lived, because he asked God to specifically endow him with wisdom, and God granted that request. And Solomon was wise in a lot of ways. There was a lot of things that Solomon was very wise about, and decisions that he made that were very wise. I'll go ahead and say it like this. There were some things that Solomon really wasn't that wise about. There were some things that Solomon did that I really think if he'd have been as wise as he thought he was, he probably wouldn't have done some of them things. But the reality is, Solomon, for his humanity, was extremely filled with wisdom. And that wisdom and that knowledge led him to a place in this book, Ecclesiastes. That word just means the preacher. This is his sermon, his swan song, if you will, of his life, his reminiscence of what he has lived through on this earth. And what he decides through this process is that a lot of what he has lived through on this earth is what he calls in this book vanity. Vanity is to say it really don't mean nothing. A lot of what Solomon's life amounted to in his mind in this book was vanity. In chapter 1, he talks about the vanity of pleasure, pursuing pleasure. He said, there's a lot of things on this earth that feel good and make me feel good, but most of them things really don't mean much at the end of the day. How I feel is really not the important point at the end when I take a summation of what's going on in my life. How I felt in that moment is irrelevant. It is vanity. In chapter 2, he talks about the vanity of possessions. Now, this is coming from a man that had everything. We talk about in our day, rich people. We ain't never seen a rich person like King Solomon. I'm talking about had everything. If he wanted it, he had it. All he had to do was hold it and say, this is what I want. And there was somebody that would die to go get it for him. Everything you could ever imagine. To the point where he even had a self-awareness of how much he was above everything else. He built a house for himself, a palace, if you will. And his response, his reaction to this big, giant mansion that he built for himself was, man, I've done built myself a house, and God's dwelling in a tent. I'm out of line. And what he determined in chapter 2 was those possessions were also vanity. I don't know if you know this or not, but I'll just repeat it the way he said it. Naked I came into this world, and naked I shall return. Mm-hmm. I don't care what you amass in this life, you can't take it with you.
That's right.
We used to say it like this, I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul trailer behind it. Amen, and even if you buried it with you in that hole, it ain't going where you're going. Vanity, those possessions. You say, but preacher, possessions are good. I'm not saying that they're not good for what they're good for. I'm saying that they're not important in the grand scope of life. Vanity. He said in chapter 3, time was vanity. That's in chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes. If you've never studied that, that'll really help you get some perspective on life. He says like this, there's a season for everything. For everything there is a time. There's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to live, a time to do this, a time to do that. Everything. What he was saying was this thing comes and goes in waves, and then it's over. Yeah. Time is fleeting. Like James said, life is but a vapor that appeareth for a short time and then passeth away. Some of you older folks in here know exactly what I'm talking about when I say that, because you can look back on your years of life, 50, 60, 70, 80 years of life, and say, man, it, just like that, it was gone. Time was vanity. In chapter number 4, he talks about the vanity of desire. Or not even desire, more the fulfillment of desire, getting what you want. Solomon says something. I'm going to paraphrase it in Bakertown language. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Everybody wake this morning on the first Sunday of 2024 say amen. Here's basically what he said. He said, I wanted a lot of stuff, and I've got all that stuff, and that really didn't make me any happier than I was when I started wanting it. That ain't it. It's vanity. But then in chapter 5, he gets on a subject that he completely changes his approach on.
And I found this so interesting because this book is very flippant. If you look at it, I understand it's God's word. It is God's word. I believe this is inspired, just as inspired as the rest of Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, profitable for doctrine, all that. But understand, God used human writers. In this case, he used Solomon. At a certain time in his life, when Solomon was very flippant about the things that he was talking about on this earth. I just imagine in my head Solomon laying back dictating this to somebody just saying, psh, it's vanity. None of it matters. Look at my life. Look at all these things on this earth. None of them matter. They're not important. Nothing in this world fulfills me. It's just vanity. And then in chapter 5, he begins to talk about the house of God. And all of a sudden, this flippant king who nothing seems to matter to gets serious. Look in chapter 5, verse number 1. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through a multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thy hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. In the midst of all of these vain things that Solomon has talked about in this book, in chapter 5, Solomon approaches something that he does not see as vain. He approaches something that he realizes the gravity of. And that is not just God or the worship of God, but specifically the house of God. Now, I understand that we're not sitting in the temple. And the church is not exclusive in the way that the temple was exclusive. The temple was specifically a place where it was the only place that the people of Israel had the ability to meet with God. And I understand that this is not that. This is not the only place that you have the ability to meet God. But for the vast majority of people, including most of us in this room, this is the only place on earth that you have set aside in your heart to be purposed to meet with God. For most people on earth, the church is the only place in their life that is specifically designed for worship. Whether it's right or wrong or whatever you want to say, I'm just telling you the truth. And when Solomon approaches the subject of the house of God, all of a sudden he gets serious. And it got me to thinking about this. As we step into this new year, as we step into 2024, I got to thinking, Lord, what is it that we need to do better this year? What is it that we can improve on? Where can we go from here? And here's what I decided to come and preach to you about this morning. I believe in 2024, if we're going to do something, then we ought to get serious about the house of God. Amen. I think it's time to get serious about not just about the house of God, but about the way we behave in the house of God. Notice the first line of this verse, keep thy foot. Now go into the house of God. You know why you want to keep your foot? So you don't slip.
Yeah.
Y'all ever seen a mule? Y'all know what everybody knows what a mule is? Let me tell you some things about a mule. He's ugly. Alright? He's ornery. He don't listen. He's big. Eats a lot. Did I mention he's ugly? You can't even breed them. The only way you can get a mule is from a horse and a donkey. Why in the world would anybody want a mule? Well, I'll tell you what a mule does. This is amazing, right? This is scientific. I'm about to get scientific on you now. Be careful. Here's what a mule does when he takes a step. Before he shifts the full brunt of his weight onto that foot, he has already used that foot to decipher what he's about to step on. That's why the term that we use, the country term, is sure-footed. That means every time his foot lands on something, it's going to be steady and stable and solid. And he does that through a scientific, biological advantage that God has given to him, that's given him the ability to almost sense what he's stepping into before he steps into it. But he also does that through a keen awareness that has been developed in his mind. And what I want to say this morning is that God's people in the house of God specifically, but not only that, in the temple of God, which is your body, which you walk through this life, ought to develop a keen awareness of what we're stepping into so we don't slip. Keep your foot. Let's get serious. You want to do something in 2024? Why don't we get serious? Some of y'all, hey, listen now. Some of us have been playing with God for too long. I got students in my class. I'm going to preach my message, I promise. But it's the first Sunday of the year, so I need to set a precedent. Whatever I preach this morning, I can't preach longer than this no more. So I'm going to give you 2 hours this morning, so I only got down to go. I got students in my class. And some of them, y'all know me. I like to have fun. I like to pick and play and all those things. But sometimes when we're, especially like when we're out in the shop, the welders are going. Cutting torches, running. I'm talking about angle grinders, cutting blades, running. Sparks flying. And then every once in a while, I have to stop one of them and say, hey, listen. You playing too much. You going to mess around and get yourself hurt. Hey, Christians, listen to me now. I like to have fun in church. I like to have fun with the things of God. Merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's what your Bible says. There ain't nothing wrong with laughing, cutting up, having fun, and all those things, and smiling and being having joy. Jesus said, I've come to that you might have joy and that you might have it more abundantly. But hear me and hear me well. Some of y'all play too much. And that's why you never seem to figure out how to develop a real relationship with God, because you're playing too much. You need to get serious. There's a time, you want to talk about the time Solomon was talking about, there's a time to be born, a time to die. There's a time to get serious. Mm-hmm. And some of us are right on the precipice of having a real relationship with God and being able to walk with God, but we're still playing church. Mm-hmm. We're coming in here with our Sunday best on like we're somebody. Listen, and God knows what's underneath that suit and that dress, sir, ma'am. God knows what's really going on. The seriousness of the house of God. Let me give you some things this morning. Number one, some serious things that we ought to deal with this morning. Number one, you ought to watch your step. I've already been talking about it, but keep thy foot. It's not enough, church. It's not enough just to be in here. I promise you, I've been in this thing long enough to know you can be just as separated from God in here as you are out there.
That's right.
Walking in those doors does not a Christian make. You can be just as lost and on your way to hell, sitting on these pews, as you can be sitting on the bar stool somewhere down the road. Hey, listen to me. Being in the building is not enough. The only difference in being in here and being out there is that in here the consequences are a little bit more dire. See, because once you've been in here, specifically I can't speak for everybody's church, but I can speak for Down East Baptist Church. Once you've been in here, you've heard the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've heard the gospel, the Bible says you have no excuse. You are without excuse. And all of a sudden, the consequences become more dire. The house of God is not a joke, friend.
It's not a fun house. It's not an entertainment venue. I'm glad we can have fun here. Thank God that He's given us the resources to have things like Community Day, where we can have a good time with the kids in the neighborhood and all that stuff. But hear me well. This is not a place designed for entertainment. Contrary to popular belief, in 2024, the house of God was never meant to be a place to come to be entertained.
That's right.
I tell you what entertainment will do for you. Entertainment will take your mind off of what it really ought to be on.
That's right.
So-called church that is designed purely for the entertainment of your flesh will lead your heart to places that should not be in the house of God. Hey, listen, thank God for good music. But if the music is so good that you turn off when the preaching starts, something's upside down, folks. Because Paul didn't tell Timothy, sing the word and be instant in season, out of season. He told him to preach the word. This place is not a game. It is a sanctified, set aside place that has been designed for the worship of the eternal God of heaven. That's where you're sitting at right now. And knowing that should remind us, watch your step. Look at verse 7. He says, in the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities. That is to say, people come up with all kind of crazy myths. Right? That's a simple way to put that. But look at that next phrase. But fear thou God. So preacher, how do we get serious about church? Start fearing God.
Amen.
Some of us walk around church like we ain't scared of God. Say, preacher, you shouldn't say it like that. No, hear me out right here. Some of us walk in here with our chest poked out. And we ain't bit more coming in here for nothing but ourselves.
Yeah.
I tell you what you better do. You better fear God because you will face God.
Yeah.
And if you don't think that what goes on in here is going to come up on that day, friend, you're reading a different Bible now. If I'm going to answer for what goes on in the church house, if I'm going to answer for what you do in the church house, then how do you think you're going to feel when you stand before God? What do you think that conversation is going to be like? Watch your step. Watch your stance. Talking about your posture here. Let's look at this. By the way, if you ain't figured this out yet, and be more, look at this, ready to hear. That's your stance, your posture. I'm speaking of how we're postured in the house of God. Not physically necessarily, although I do think a lot of times our physical posture is a reflection of our spiritual posture. A lot of times I can look at your physical posture in the house of God and it tells me a lot about your spiritual posture. Somebody ought to say amen right there, even though you really don't want to. That's okay. But I'm talking about where's your heart? What'd you come in here for? What'd you come in here for? Are we in a listening posture? Are we ready to receive the Word of God? Ready to accept the Word of God? Ready to affirm the Word of God. Hey, by the way, when you say the word amen, let me explain something to you. Maybe this will help you a little bit. That means I agree.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That means I agree. And I've seen a lot of people look at me and say amen to things that I don't think they really agree with. Oh. Because I've stood in this pulpit. Are y'all listening to me? I've stood in this pulpit and said some stuff. And some of y'all have said, amen. And I know good and well you don't agree with what I just said. Oh yeah, I'm preaching in 2024. If you don't like that, you might as well find it somewhere else to be. Amen right there. I'm preaching the book. I'm preaching the book in 2024. I don't know what else to do. The world that we're living in has so buried us under a culture of wickedness. I don't know what else. preach the book. I mean, listen, I'm being real careful. But what'd you come in here for? Did you come in here to listen? Or did you come in here to let the Word of God just bounce off of you? Because if you listen, listening requires... You know why? Everybody okay? You know why your husband don't listen, ma'am? Because listening requires action. You know why your wife don't listen, sir? Because listening requires action. Oh yeah, I went both ways. It's okay. Well, sometimes listening, if I'm listening to you, then that something in me is going to say, I kind of got to do something about that now. That's why some of y'all, when y'all walk in here, I don't know what you're listening to in your head, but you ain't listening to what I'm saying. Because if you did, then you'd have to do something about it. That's what James was talking about when he said to be doers of the word and not just hearers. You can hear something and not be listening to it.
Yeah.
If you listen to it, it'll make you do something about it. What are you here for? I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to do less looking and more listening. Some of us need to quit looking at everybody else in the room. I'm quit preaching to win the medal, but I'm just going to go with it because y'all need to hear. Some of us need to quit looking at everybody else. Did you come? Hey, listen. Did you come to church to fix everybody, or did you come to church to hear from God? Because if you come to church to fix everybody and you really think you're capable of that, I'm going to take 2 weeks off and let you have it. And when I come back in 2 weeks, we'll see how good that's working out for me. Some of us have done got so spiritual, we think that we got the answer for everybody else's problems. Hey, look up in here. You ain't got the answer for your own problems. If you did, you wouldn't need to be here. Are we here to live? Are we here to get something from God? Or are we here to impart something on somebody else? Are we here to get something from God? Or are we here to worry about what color the preacher's suit is? I've had people listen to me, but they don't hear me. And I can tell because they talk to me about things afterwards that let me know that they didn't hear me. Hang-ups. You better be careful. The devil will get you hung up on something that don't have nothing to do with nothing. Listen, anybody talks as much as I do is bound to say something stupid. It's just a statistic. Probability, okay? I talk for a living. I'm going to say something that ain't going to be perfectly right at some point. I promise you, I'm going to say that the Jonah swallowed the whale or something like that. I mean, really, it's going to happen. That ain't the point. If that's what you get out of being here, man, you're not listening. Be more, you know what we need to do in 2024? Be more ready to hear. I tell you what would change your life. If you would just take what God has to say, listen to it, hear it, and do something about it. You know how I can tell that our people are not hearing as good as they once did? Because there's not as many of them around this altar as there once was. Because if you're hearing, you have to do something. I tell you what you ought to do in this year. You ought to take what God says to you, get in this altar, and decide, make a decision on how you're going to try to do something about it. And then come back next week, hear what God says, and get in this altar and make a decision about how you're going to try to do something about it. And you might have to deal with the same thing 10 weeks in a row. But if you get victory over it, I tell you what it'll do. It'll change the trajectory of your life. This is serious. I don't know how much longer we got. I'm telling you right now, the Lord could come back today. But not only that, man, this country could collapse. And we could be doing what they're doing over
in West Africa and meeting somewhere under a tree with a tarp tied to it. And I guarantee you, when that day comes, the herd will get real thin. Yeah.
Better watch your step. Better watch your stance. What are you coming in here for? Better watch your sacrifice. Look at this. Verse number two. Be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. Back up to the back half of verse number one. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. The context of that, we just read in verse number two. The context of that, that sacrifice of fools, you know what that is? That's people that are attributing, doing and saying things and attributing them to God when they really ain't of God. Here's what I'm asking you. What did you come here to do? What did you come here to accomplish? Look at verse number three. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. A dream cometh through a multitude of business. Can I tell y'all something? Everything that pops in your head ain't from God. Okay? Let me be real clear. Everything that pops in your head ain't from God. Okay? When you lay down at night and have a dream, it ain't always God trying to tell you something. Sometimes just a culmination of all the things you did through that day. That's what he just said right there. Dream comes through a multitude of business. Sometimes it's just your ambition. That's why when God puts a calling on your life, it's very important to suss out whether it's God calling you or you calling him. Because, hey listen, we have a tendency to take the things that we want and make them in our minds the things that God wants. We have a bad habit of saying things like this. Are y'all with me this morning? Say amen. Amen. You get mad, get glad, get over it on this one. I'm just going to say it. We have a bad habit of saying things like, God told me, dot, dot, dot. When what we really probably should have said was, I told God, dot, dot, dot. You say, preacher, are you saying that God don't never speak to us? That's not at all what I'm saying. It's not at all what I'm saying. Hey, listen, the business that I'm in is the business of trying to hear from God. You understand? I believe God speaks to us in all kinds of different ways. I just don't believe that every time somebody says, God told me something, that they're necessarily telling it like it really is. Because if God told you something that don't line up with Scripture, friend, God didn't told you. God is not a liar. If God told you a prophecy and it didn't happen, God ain't the one that told you.
That's right.
Amen. We got bad habits, church. Well, I just believe this is what God... I've seen people leave a good church where God was blessing and say something like this, I just don't believe that's where God wanted me. No, friend, that's just not where you wanted to be. Don't put that on God. That's what Solomon's calling right here the sacrifice of fools. Taking what you were going to do anyway and making it God's idea so that you can edify yourself so that all the people around you think that you're super spiritual because God put something on you that he don't put on everybody else. Look up in here. God has not give you special powers, friend. He's given you access to the same power as everybody else in the room. Hyper-spirituality. We attribute everything like, well, God told me I gotta, you know, stand up and do three cartwheels.
For what? For the benefit of what? For the edification of what? You know what happened to me? I'm gonna talk a little bit, then I'm gonna preach the rest of my message, okay? I'm gonna be honest with y'all. The Bible talks about embarrassing your flesh in worship, right? That is to say that, you know, that it's important when you worship God that you're willing to do things that, that don't really feel right to you. You know, like say amen or say hallelujah or stand up or raise a hand. And there was a time when that was hard for me. There was a time when that was hard for me, but man, I mean, I was born into this thing in the frying pan. I spent a lot of time in the early days of my saved life in places where worship, vocal worship, was extremely common.
You know what happened?
That stand up, raise your hand, run a lap around the building, shout hallelujah, testify, sing a song, it became no longer a sacrifice to my flesh. It became no longer an embarrassment to my flesh. If anything, it got to a point where I had to check myself. Because it got to a point where it made me feel good to stand up, show everybody how spiritual I was. I had to check myself. I had to rein myself in a little bit. Because what I was given, that sacrifice that I was given, was the sacrifice of fools. And it was for my own edification. It was for the purpose of making me look good, as opposed to the purpose of making God look good. Watch your sacrifice, friend. Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you doing what you're doing? Why are you putting in the offering plate what you're putting in the offering plate? Are you putting it in there because God commanded you to give 10% of your income to Him? Are you putting it in there because God put it on your heart that you needed to give a special amount? Are you putting it in there so the person beside you will see how many $100 bills you dropped in there and it makes you feel real good about yourself? Amen, preacher. Ain't nobody going to say nothing today, but I'm going to preach the message anyhow. I believe y'all, I believe y'all try to look nice when you come to the house of God. I really do. I really, in my heart of hearts, I believe that it is an important tenet. And there's been times when I've dropped my standards on that tenet. And I'm being really real with you. Because of this reason or that reason or the other reason. And I can sit here and give you excuses all day. I'm just saying, I believe that y'all try to look nice. I don't know how to define that for every person individually, but I do believe y'all try to look nice when you come to the house of God. But did you put on your Sunday best this morning because you thought that it was the right thing to do? Or did you put on your Sunday best this morning so everybody would look at you and see how spiritual you were? Let's just get real basic with it. What did you even come in here for? Did you come in here to get something from God? Did you come in here to worship Him? Did you come in here to spend time with Him? Or did you come in here so you could say, I went to church this Sunday, when somebody asked you?
Look at verse number 4. This is where this is gets tight right here. I promise. I'm 33 minutes in. I'm coming to the edge of being done. Alright? But this right here hit me like a ton of bricks. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. You know what defer means? That means putting it off for an unknown amount of time. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is. Look at verse number 5. Listen, you want to know how this affects you, preacher? I got that one highlighted in mine. Right there, verse number 5. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow, that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Woo.
If that don't affect you, you need to start doing some business with God. Because when I read that, I was, like the Pharisees, when John spoke, I was cut to the heart. Because you know what he said right there? You know how many times I've gotten this altar right here? Well, sometimes while y'all are here, sometimes while you ain't. I've got this altar right here. And I've said, God, if you do this, I'll do that. And you know how many times I've had to go back and say, Lord, I'm sorry I didn't hold up my end. Yeah. You know what Solomon just said? Should have just kept your mouth shut. And you'd be a whole lot better off. You know what he's saying right there? You need to get serious.
One of the things in my life, as
and some of y'all will be able to relate to this. I think that people in this community in general can relate to what I'm about to say, but in business, in public work, one of the things in my life that I guess I can say pride myself on, I don't know how else to say it, one of the things that's caused me to be successful is that when I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. If I tell you I'm going to be there at this time and I'm going to accomplish this task, that's what I'm planning on doing. I'm going to do everything in my power to make that happen. You know what I got thinking about when I read this? Maybe I ought to think about taking that same attitude with God. And that vows a vow, he said, defer not to pay it. I tell you what we better do. We better get serious. We better get serious about our commitments with God. You know why I do that? I'm fixing to quit. I just want to leave you with this. I want to leave you with this. You know why I do that in business and in life? Because it makes my word valuable. The old saying says, your word is your bond. That means that my word in that sector of life is valuable. If I tell you I'm going to do it, just write it down. Consider it done. But here's what I want to ask you this morning as we approach the time of our altar call. Here's what I want to ask you this morning. My word, you, and a lot of you in this room, your word means a lot to a lot of people. But I wonder how valuable your word is to God. I wonder if God can count on you. When you make Him a commitment, when you make Him a promise, how often do you see that through? Church, I'm telling you, I'm under conviction just like you are, but I can't get away from this. We need to hear it. When you say, God, I'm going to make this change in my life with your help, how many times have we seen that through? I tell you what, 2024, folks, it's time to get serious. It's time to get serious. I want you to stand together, heads are bowed and eyes are closed.